back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CATIArmor.com.
Whether it's a grid down situation or just a temporary power outage from a storm, a sun oven will allow you to harness the power of the sun. Not only will you conserve resources, you'll maintain operational security by not sending up smoke. You can cook or dehydrate just about anything, including bread, muffins, roasts, jerky, beans, rice, and so much more. Go to sunoven.com/prepperrecon for an $80 discount off a deluxe package. Hey, preppers and patriots, this is the second half of my interview with Southern Prepper One. We're both guests on the today's Survival Podcast. Enjoy the show.
David, how has prepping affected your approach to the possibility of medical issues?
That's a good question, because a lot of people I know, you know, are on medication. Some of them are on medication because they are overweight. And I've seen a few come off their diabetes medicine because they've gotten out there and gotten in shape. When you look at on the TV, you see these super athletes, and you say, I can't ever do that. No, you might not be able to do it, but we don't want you to do that. What we want you to do is improve yourself on your level. So if you can't run a marathon, don't worry about a marathon. Maybe walk around your block, and then, you know, next week do a 2 laps. So don't look at anybody else but yourself, and just look to improve your physical condition. Don't compare yourself to anyone. Just say, I need to improve myself by the end of this month, by the end of next year, and then get going. Don't get discouraged. Just start out small. It's very important. The physical aspect of staying healthy is more important than a bunker full of guns and ammo and food. Health is hard to get your health back when it starts slipping. And I've seen too many people just get discouraged. And as soon as they get discouraged, they get heavier, more problems occur. So don't look at anybody else. Look at yourself and then try to improve yourself.
So I've seen these Verizon bracelets on a few people that kind of, they're a good way to tell people they've got to walk a little more, or instead of taking the elevator, you know, take the stairs, something like that. And they do seem to work, you know, that I've seen. And it's
or having accountability. You know, have a friend that is also in need of working out, and accountability. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you call your buddy and say, hey, did you work out today? You know, just that call, you know, could be the thing to say, oh, I better work out because my buddy's going to call me. I don't want to have to tell him no. So, you know, accountability, someone who makes sure you do it, it's huge. It will definitely help.
Or just to, it occurred to me that if you just stop eating a late night dinner, you know, because I read somewhere that that's how sumo wrestlers fatten up, is that they make sure to eat really late. So I make sure not to do that. So it's kind of like staying in shape is a form of prepping.
The biggest form of prepping.
Absolutely.
The most important form.
Yeah. Well, great. This book has a lot of atypical prepper stuff. And one thing I wanted to ask Mark about, your Prepper Recon had a great podcast last February featuring your guest Coupon Prepper, and maybe you can explain the importance of couponing to the listeners here as far as prepping.
Yes, and a little secret reveal that I'll put out just for your show, Cal. That's my wife. And so she
kind of figured, but
yeah. and so through couponing, she has been able to stockpile all of our hygiene needs and all of our food needs and all of that stuff without having to expand our normal grocery budget, because she'll shop for buy one get one deals, and then she'll use the store coupon and the manufacturer coupon, and a lot of stores will allow you to put the store coupon and the manufacturer coupon on the buy one item, and then they'll also allow you to put the store coupon and the manufacturer coupon on the free item. So by doing that, she's just bringing home piles and piles of stuff for, you know, pennies on the dollar every single week. And yep. and the grocery stores are great for that. Kroger's, Publix, Winn-Dixie, most of them will all let you do that when they have the buy one get one free deals. And there's a lot of prepper stuff you can get for that. You know, pasta sauce, usually that stuff stores pretty good. Pasta itself will store just about indefinitely if you can keep the bugs away from it with either a Mylar bag or what we've been doing lately is Food Saver bags, which, you know, things can chew through that, but if you've got it in a Food Saver bag to keep the oxygen away from it, and then you've got it in a 5 gallon bucket with a Gamma Seal lid, it's pretty well protected from the critters and oxygen and light. So that's a great way to store it. And it'll store for a really, really long time. And there's lots of stuff that you can get the deals like that on. And also the grocery, not the grocery, the health stores like CVS and Walgreens and Rite Aids, they offer a lot of stuff that you can get with their rewards programs. You can get free stuff just about every week. And she's got, we've probably got something like 175 years worth of razors, maybe 5 years worth of soap. Probably, I think she just did an inventory. I think we figured out we've got about 3 years worth of toothpaste. So you're probably going to be
20 cents per unit on that, you know, so it's okay, right?
Yeah. So we're going to be clean and clean shaven and, you know, well manicured during the apocalypse.
Smelling good.
There you go. There used to be that great show on TV. I can't remember the name of it, but
Extreme Couponing.
That's it. Where somebody would come home from the grocery store with a whole bunch of bags of groceries, and they've just spent $15 on it or something like that. It was amazing. But anyway, you can find a lot of coupons and a lot of links to other websites that help you with getting started with couponing at the Prepper Recon website, and it's at the coupon corner, right?
Yep, at the top of the homepage, if you click that coupon corner tab, it'll take you over there, and you'll have all kinds of nice links for stuff that'll probably be in your area, because we try to get stuff from all over.
Yep. Okay, just got a couple of other subjects I wanted to ask you guys about the book. There was some talk in the beginning of the book about the possibility of deflation versus hyperinflation, and I don't think you use those words necessarily, but reading between the lines, it occurred to me that the talk about paying off your credit card debt was probably to make sure that if you're ever unemployed or if ever there's a deflation as opposed to inflation, that you'll be okay, right? Is that the thinking that influenced that part of the book?
Yeah, because I think there's I've heard this from other preppers before on board news boards and things like that, talking about that they're going to take their credit card and go run it up at the last minute and you know, get a bunch of beans, bullets, and Band-Aids basically, and went right before the system collapses. And, right. And I don't think that's a very good ideology, because unless we have this type of collapse where we just basically go from the way everything is today back to the Stone Ages or back to the Dark Ages, which I guess there's a few threats out there that could cause something like that. I don't think that's the most likely scenario. And of course, what we saw in the 2008 debacle was we saw the banks coming in and saying, okay, well, you can't pay your mortgage, and kicking people out and repossessing the property. You know, so they weren't able to get away without paying their debts in 2008. And I don't think it's very likely that's going to happen for you on the next time either. The banks are pretty well... they've been through this, and they've got enough knowledge of how these things work, and they've got enough power and influence to make sure the laws are such when things like this happen that you're going to be the one that gets the short end of the stick on this. So don't think that you're going to outwit them or outsmart them, because it's probably not going to happen. The best thing you can do is to just keep your debt as low and as manageable as possible. You know, try to stick to things that you have to have. You know, if you have to have a mortgage to buy a house, most people don't have $250,000 in cash or $150,000 in cash to go out and buy a house. So you might have to have it for your house, but other things, you know, if you can drive that beater of a car for a couple of years and save up money and then pay cash for a little bit better beater and just keep doing that until you've been able to basically have like an envelope for your car that you just keep putting money into instead of making that payment to the bank. And working your way up to a better and better car each time that one calls it quits, then that might be the best way to do it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Yeah, I liked your discussion in the book about the Dave Ramsey approach to paying off credit card debt. And speaking of credit cards, you had something in that chapter about finding credit cards where you can just pay off the amount every month and still get rebates.
Yeah, right. And my view on that is evolving, and largely because of what I've been going through with the Bank of America for the past 4 months. My card number was stolen through identity thefts of somehow or another, and now with the hassle that I've had to go through with them over this, I don't think that the rewards points are really worth it anymore. So I'm going back to saying, you know what? Just do cash, because this is just not worth it. And I'm going to do an entire podcast on what their system is, but their system is ran by a computer. And I don't know if it's and this sounds like really sci-fi and far-fetched unless you've sat there and listened to it. And so I've got all of the recordings of my conversations with the customer service reps, but they've all told me the same thing. There's nobody at Bank of America that can go in and turn off your credit card from a fraudulent charge. So what's been happening is 2 months ago I just shut the card down, and it's been something where somebody signed up for a TransUnion thing to get their my credit report to try to get the rest of my information through the credit report, and and they didn't get it. But what's been happening is TransUnion's been billing me every month three times for $17.95. So it's like $54 a month. And even after I close my card down, somehow or another, the Bank of America computer doesn't know to say no to this TransUnion charge, even though the card is completely shut down. I've closed out my account, and it's still incurring these charges every month. And every month I call and speak to a customer service rep, and they don't have any authority. There's nobody there that can override this computer. So we've got basically like this sort of this Mark of the Beast type artificial intelligence computer system that's running Bank of America right now. And it's absolutely insane. And this show, when I do it, I think that people are going to be just absolutely dumbfounded that something like this is actually going on in the banking system.
Are you talking about just B of A cards or all credit cards that have rebates?
This is Bank of America. So, I mean, I don't know what the other ones are, but you know,
this is the Bank of America computer that's running all of this. So I don't have any information that that's what's happening in the other ones. I don't know if anybody works for any of those other companies and they can tell me, yes, that's how Citibank and TD and everybody else works as well. You know, it's Prepper Recon at StartMail. You know, send me your information. I'd love to know if that's happening at other banks as well. So Bank of America is the only one that I know about.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, because the part of the book where you're talking about Bass Pro Shops really had me drooling. I love going to that store. Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's Bank of America that issues that awesome. Bass Pro card.
Oh, great. Well, I did look up American Express and BJ's. They also look like they have some good rebate credit cards, but I'll put that on hold because, well, actually, Amex I know is not B of A, but I don't know about BJ's. It looks like a good rebate card at BJ's, but I don't know if they're involved with B of A. Who knows? So we'll put that on hold.
Yeah.
Hey, David, one thing I wanted to ask you. The cover photo, which I believe was done by your wife, in fact, the photos in this book are well done, by the way. It shows some fish antibiotics. And can you talk to the listeners about human antibiotics versus fish antibiotics?
Yes, I personally have stored fish antibiotics. Now, I'm not a doctor, or I'm not in the medical field, so I really can't recommend anything. So you need to check with your own doctor or your pharmacist. But I have stockpiled the fish antibiotics in case of an emergency. Now, if I get sick right now, I don't use those. I go to the doctor because I have good insurance. And I save those antibiotics, the fish antibiotics, for a worst-case event where I can't get to the doctor. So that is a way to, you know, supply yourself with antibiotics. Antibiotics can be very important. If one of your family members come down with an infection and you don't have antibiotics, you will really trade anything that you have to get what you need to save your family. So think about antibiotics, very important. And right now they're still available. I'm hearing rumors that they might not be available much longer by just simply ordering. You might have to go through a vet to get them. So if you're thinking about it, go ahead and take the jump. I know Mark sells antibiotics, fish antibiotics, so he might have some more input on this.
Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, to my knowledge, they are the same dosage and essentially about the same ingredients as what you would get from the doctors. And like David said, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to tell you to take them. But I will tell you that I have taken them when I've had infections, and it has cleared it up. But now, I mean, on a caveat on that, you know, I think that our country is very heavily over-medicated, and I think that doctors are very, very quick to prescribe antibiotics. I know that my wife, when she went to have some dental work done, you know, they gave her a 10-day course of antibiotics. I mean, this stuff absolutely, it's like setting off a nuclear bomb inside your body. You know, you're taking out all of the bacteria, which you've got a lot of bacteria that you need inside your intestinal tract that keeps things going for you. And so antibiotics should be something that folks should use when they're really, really sick and you really, really need it and you really, really know that that's the right thing to take. And I don't believe in taking them for, like, you know, preventative stuff unless it's something where you got a really, really bad cut or something like that and you think that there's a really high risk of being infected. I would rather take them after I see that there's some kind of sign that there's an actual need for them. So it's not something that you take for the flu or something that you take for a cold. You know, those are typically viruses, and antibiotics don't have any effect on a virus whatsoever.
Right.
But you know, if you do get a bad cut and you do get a bad infection and you're in a post-apocalyptic scenario where you don't have access to medical care, it might be something that actually saves your life. So,
yeah. Well, I'm not a doctor either, although I have pretty messy handwriting. But I'll just refer the listener to the website doomandbloom.net, where Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy discussed this very topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them comparing human prescribed antibiotics to fish prescribed antibiotics. And Dr. Bones is a doctor. So, and he would also tell people to be very, very careful with this stuff. It's one of those situations where it's regulated for a reason. So you have to be very careful, but it's something else to consider as far as prepping. Well, one other really smart idea I wanted to mention in this book that I don't think I've seen elsewhere is to scan important documents and put them on a thumb drive, because you never know when you won't have access to those documents, like if your house burns down or whatever. And if you have a thumb drive, like in your glove compartment or whatever. Anyway, I thought that was a really good idea. One thing I've done is scanned my important documents and emailed them to myself and just kept them in my email inbox. So that's another good idea from this book. Okay, I saved the most important book-related issue for last. And if there's any way to keep it relatively short, maybe, David, you can explain the importance of faith. There was a good discussion at the beginning of the book about the importance of faith to a prepper. And I know that the Bible has several examples of preppers, like Noah and Joseph and that Bible verse in Proverbs 21:20. So anyway, if you have any thoughts on faith and prepping, maybe you can tell the listeners.
Yes. For me, I have to put my faith in Jesus Christ and not in my actual preps. That would be foolish, because my preps can be taken in a second. A storm could come. So you need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I have personally done, and that has given me peace in life. Now, I can't use that as an excuse not to prep and say, oh, God's going to take care of me. I have to do my part. And that's why I prep, and that's why I try to get other people to prep. If you look at the situation in Greece right now, I mean, they're going to be very short-handed on medicine and food. So, you know, by looking over there, I say, you know what, that's another reason why I prep, economic collapse. But you got to have a strong foundation. If we go through an economic collapse, you're going to be tested. You know, your whole being will be tested, and you need to have a strong foundation. And that's probably the most important thing, is your foundation. All the rest of the stuff will come easy if you're grounded right.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Amen. Mark, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. This morning I was reading 2 Peter. I try to, you know, and I try to practice what I preach and what we write in the book. And I think that being connected to the Word of God and putting some time into reading your Bible and praying and listening to praise music in the morning before you start your day and giving God that very first part of your day, I think it will just radically change the way you live the rest of your day. And if you're doing that every day, it's going to radically change the way you're living the rest of your life. And it's going to give you a lot of peace, and it's going to give you direction, and it's going to give you so much that you're going to need to get through these dark days that we're heading into. But 2 Peter 2 says that if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven other, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. So we see two different examples right there between Noah and Lot. And while God rescued both of them from the judgment that he was bringing on the world at those two different periods of time, they both had two very, very different survival experiences. We know that that Noah, he took a very proactive approach, and he got involved and he built the ark. And while he didn't really have the resources to go out and gather up all of the animals, God did that, and he brought the animals to Noah. So, you know, Noah was very involved, whereas Lot, he had had this experience before living in Sodom and Gomorrah, where it had been attacked, and he had to be rescued by his uncle. And, you know, maybe that was a good sign at that time to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't. He stayed there. And we know that his survival experience was very, very different from Noah's. He had to leave in the middle of the night with absolutely nothing. And we don't even know that he had a bug out bag, you know, and his wife didn't make it. So he got out the skin of his teeth with his daughters who had been infected by the culture that he'd allowed them to live in. And, you know, if you read the rest of that story, it's pretty nasty as well. But, you know, yes, God rescued both of them, but because Noah was involved in his preparedness and he had a much better survival story than what Lot had existing out in the mountains with absolutely nothing.
Amen. Amen. You know, Bob Main at Today's Survival just recently went through a cancer scare, and I'm among those who were asked to pray for him, and our family prayed for him. And by the grace of God, he got through cancer. And of course, it's not only about just while we're alive. It's you know, if and when we all leave this world, it's good to know as a Christian that you'll be welcomed into heaven, which is kind of a, as you say in the book, kind of a spiritual preparation. So it's an important issue.
Absolutely. 10 out of 10 people die, so you got to be ready for that day.
That's right. There's only one I know who didn't. Well, who died but came back. But,
right.
Okay, and let me ask you real quick, common mistakes made by preppers that you've seen. David, I heard a podcast with you recently. Somebody was going to max out their credit card.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake preppers make is they buy a bunch of stuff and never get it out of the box and practice with it. I see that every day.
Okay, so buy stuff and spend some time trying to use it and get to know how to yeah. use it. Mark, what mistakes have you seen?
I see people that get pigeonholed, you know, and that's another reason that we wrote the 7-step survival plan, you know, for the experienced prepper, that he can go through that and he's making sure that he's staying on a balanced path, because, you know, there's guys that get into comms and they love comms and they get so into it and that's where they spend all their time and money and resources. And then they never get the food storage and they don't really get the home security and a lot of the other aspects, or they're not making time to get out and get some exercise and take care of their number one survival tool, which is their body. So, you know, and the same thing can happen with guns, you know, guys that get so into guns and then they neglect all everything else. And there's other people that, you know, food storage, and that's the only thing they think about, and they don't have the guns and they don't have the communication capabilities. So, you know, it's about trying to be balanced. And that's one of the great things about being in a group sometimes is, you know, that you'll have people with different interests and people can be a little bit more specialized because everything's getting taken care of for the group.
Yep. That's a good point. This book is a good, I'd call it a survey of different important issues for preppers. Well, all right. One last question. Suppose there's somebody listening to this podcast coming home from work and they're brand new to prepping. They've never done any prepping before and they just feel there's something not going right in the world, whether it's a big issue or if they see a hurricane coming or they suspect there might be flooding or a fire coming through or whatever. A brand new prepper, what would you advise that brand new prepper to do today to get started? David?
Probably just to stop and order the 7-step survival plan.
Well, of course.
Yes, of course. But no, I would probably say sit down with your loved one and have a rational discussion of what threat you see coming. Write it down on paper and then write a plan down. And don't panic, but sit down and have a rational discussion and write your plan down. And do not let people discourage you. You know, you might have loved ones that say, oh, nothing's going to happen. No. You know, discuss it with them and then stick to your guns and you do something to prepare for that threat.
Okay, thanks. Mark, what do you think?
And I'll say what I say in the 7-step survival plan. You start with yourself. You know, make sure that you've got that relationship with Christ so that if you don't make it through whatever's coming, it'll be all right, okay for eternity, because if you miss that, nothing else really matters. And then after that, you know, make sure that you're taking care of all of the health things. You know, make sure that you're getting the exercise. Make sure you're eating right. Another thing that people neglect sometimes is, you know, maintenance stuff, like going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned, because you don't want to have a rotten tooth in the middle of the apocalypse when there's no dentist. So it's much better to take care of that now. And then after that, make sure that you're taking care of your budget, because whatever's coming down the pipe, more than likely it's going to be financial in nature. And if you can at least have your own house's books in order, and you're living on less than you're bringing in, and you've got a good budget, everything else is going to be so much easier if you've done those two things. And then after that you can get into all the prepping stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where is the 7-step survival plan book available?
Well, you can go to PrepperRecon.com, and we've got a banner on the right-hand side of the page that you can click, and that'll take you over to Amazon. And then, of course, David and my other book, Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics, that's a little bit more advanced book. That's after you've already got the 7 steps taken care of. We wrote that to be really focused on folks that haven't been in the military, like myself. Being able to put together a team and put together a few things to do to take care of our own security if we happen to go into a without rule of law type scenario. And of course, David's got all the technical knowledge. And then so we just sat down and I took all of his technical knowledge and I tried to put it into the terminology that somebody that hasn't ever been in the military would be able to understand. And Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics is what we come up with. And we think that it's a really good primer for home security.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got the Days of Noah series, books 1 and 2 out right now too, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. And then book 3 of that should be out this October. And of course, it's kind of a fun thing that looks at, you know, well, it's probably not fun if you start thinking about that's probably what's going to happen to our nation. But it just kind of looks at a lot of the different conspiracy theories that are out there and how they might play into biblical prophecy and what our nation will look like in the very near future. And it just kind of picks it up at today's headlines and projects our current path into the future. And then my previous series, the Economic Collapse Chronicles, did the same thing on a more of a fiscal sustainability, looking at that and how likely a financial meltdown would occur in America.
Okay. And, Dave, I'm sorry, what?
And what it would look like here.
Oh, okay. And David, you're cranking out the videos on YouTube under Southern Prepper 1. Is that right?
That's correct. For me, that's the easiest way to get information out to the people. So I love doing videos. And that's what I'm just showing you what I'm doing at my retreat and trying to get people motivated to do something at their home.
Well, I found your videos to be very, very informative. Do either of you have speaking appearances coming up, or is there a Prepper Expo you're going to be at anytime soon?
I don't think so. I don't have any plans to do anything in the coming months myself.
Okay. David.
No plans here. I am.
You're a consultant.
Getting my personal stuff ready.
So. Yeah, oh, okay. And you're available for consultation for prepping too, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, that's all I got. As far as my questions, I sure appreciate both of you guys joining me, the co-authors of this great new book on prepping, The 7-Step Survival Plan by David Kobler and Mark Goodwin. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Cal, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback or audio edition at Amazon.com today.